from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Now, it's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929 ESPN. As always, you can always listen on 92.9 FM ESPN, 680 AM, but you can also keep up to date with all of the programming here anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Download, like, subscribe. You know the drill with the Odyssey app. You can even use the rewind feature. If you miss a segment, go back and listen. It's the best way to stay up to date with everything happening right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company this week is, of course, the executive producer of The Gabe Kuhn Show. He's on Twitter, on X, at CDunning929. Connor Dunning, good day, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Let's see what we got coming up on the program. Over at ESPN earlier today, ESPN basically did a mock write-up of the teams that the 30 college football teams that have, according to ESPN FPI, the best chance of making the college football playoff. I don't want to get too much into it because in the end, it's information that's kind of already been out there. It's ESPN FPI, and if you go over to the list and whatnot, you can sort by odds to make the playoff. It does have me thinking more, though, expectations, because while I don't think it is a large portion of the fan base, I do think there is a segment of the Tiger football fan base that is expecting the Tigers to win the playoff. And to me, one of the key aspects of how do you feel about your program is, what are the expectations?
Right.
Do you under overperform? And obviously there's always going to be a win total, whatnot, but I don't think sometimes win totals reflect how a fan base feels, because, like, for instance, most books out there have the Tigers win total as 8.5. Give or take, or, you know, if it's 9, it's like juiced one way or the other. But basically, either a 9-3, 8-4 season. And while by historical Tiger football context, that is a good season, when you start to play out, what would that look like? That's not going to feel really great, particularly when you had your senior quarterback. You retained so much of your roster. Now you are, if not the best job in the league, because I still think Tulane's a sneaky, very good job, and I don't think it gets its due. But you're either the best job or the second best job in the league. And that would largely mean 2 to 3 conference losses and probably not a win that anyone really cares about.
Yeah. I also think it matters, fair or unfair, what's happening around the Memphis Tigers football program,
sure,
specifically with the stadium renovations and the FedEx NIL deal, and just the overarching narrative of trying to make it into another conference. It just puts a lot of pressure on this season, and that's why I tend to agree with you. It's not really about the win total this year for the Memphis Tigers. It's, you know, they're set at 8.5 or 9, and if they win more than that, to be quite honest, I think most people are saying, well, they should win more than that. And if they don't, it's highly disappointing. I mean, we'll talk about it here in a moment, but I have big expectations for the Memphis Tiger football program, but it's not necessarily related to the college football playoff.
Yep. So we'll talk about expectations. We'll focus on more than just Tiger football. I want to also talk Tiger basketball. I want to talk Grizzlies.
Grizzlies is an interesting combo.
I want to also get into the local SEC schools, although now I don't even know what that means. It used to just mean like Ole Miss, Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi State.
I think that's the right answer.
But now it feels like there's a lot of Bama.
Yeah.
Like, I do feel like, especially,
I feel like it's Auburn more than Bama.
I think it's somewhat dependent of, like, a little more the church-going folk or the Auburn crowd. You know, it's a good Christian school. It's by definition a state school. It's not. So that always used to drive me insane. So we'll talk about that. Eric Castellan's going to join us in about 30 minutes or so. Spoke with him on the phone just a little bit ago, but want to get his thoughts now that, of course, the Grizzlies roster is final. His thoughts perhaps on whether or not the Grizzlies will keep that last roster spot open. Will they try to fill it? How does he see that playing out? We'll discuss that with Eric when he joins us. 3:05, we will get into the list. We'll, of course, do our Olympic update. Georgia has made a decision on Ra Ra Thomas. I also think I saw the most electric look at the Olympics. We'll talk about that. Jason Smith's going to join us at 3:30. Football's back, baby. The Hall of Fame game.
I'm so excited.
The Hall of Fame. It means we now have 26 consecutive weeks of football. It will, of course, be a disgusting, gross game. There will be nothing memorable about it, but we all got to watch at least a little bit.
But it's football.
It's on. We're going to watch a little. Everyone knows how the drill goes. It's just something like we all accept it. No one's like jacked up for the Hall of Fame game to like watch these two teams play. It's just nice to see football back.
It's pizza.
Correct.
Football is the same thing as pizza. Even
right.
If it's bad pizza, it's still pizza.
Yeah, it's a Red Baron.
Oh, wow. I ride for Red Baron.
But we're not talking about in the category of frozen pizzas, like what your favorite frozen pizza is. But like if I'm offering you MPC or Red Baron.
Fair enough. Okay. I see your point.
It's frozen. All pizza's good pizza. I'm with you on that.
Baron over DiGiorno, like, every day of the week.
I don't even hate the freaking rectangle, like, school pizza.
Tombstone.
It's fine.
I'll ride for it.
It's completely fine. So we got that. We'll tell your story, then we will get out of here. But, again, let's start first with Tiger football, since they opened camp yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Did I see where Ryan Silverfield was trying to get the Olympics here?
Yeah, he was.
First off, that's the bid.
The Olympics. That's your bid?
Yes.
Did he steal your bid?
But my Twitter headers was, when they were having problems like finding out who was going to be 2024, I made a case for Memphis. Why not?
You're still Hugh Freeze, right? No, you're not. You're not. You're Leah. Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I know. I took that down.
Yeah.
So I did.
I forgot about your Memphis Olympic 2024
yes,
bid.
Yes, that.
Our river's cleaner.
Maybe.
Technically.
We have less poop.
We haven't tested it.
We have less. It's a fair point. I think, but you really can't swim it.
We haven't tested it. Well, or we can just make it, if you really survive, then you definitely get the gold.
I mean, toss up Eiffel Tower versus a Bass Pro in the shape of a pyramid. The Eiffel Tower, like, that's what gets left out. It's now this iconic image. It was critically and commercially, everyone hated it. It was an eyesore. Nobody really liked the design. Like, it basically was just like the classic, like, just stick around long enough and enough people that hate it will die and everyone else will just be like, oh, that's kind of cool.
I mean, imagine the beach volleyball scene that we're getting right now with the Eiffel Tower, but with a giant Bass Pro pyramid in the background.
I'm just saying.
Do you hear an eagle screeching? I do.
Aesthetically, the Bass Pro Pyramid looks better.
It does.
Much, much better. So we're going iconic imagery 101. Or we're one up. So yesterday they opened practice, and I actually think now that Media Days has become this like Walking Dead thing, you know what I mean? Like no one really pays that, like it's like on.
Oh, it's there, but nobody really pays attention.
Correct.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yes, well done.
You see what I'm
saying?
Like, you know what I mean? Like it's we're still having it. People are still kind of paying attention to it, but it is nowhere near the event that it used to be. And I'm not even saying SEC Media Days, like just Media Days in general.
If you ask for details, you can't really get any.
Correct. So, and that's for a lot of reasons. Number one, the sport is overcovered. Number two, everyone has their own platform if they want to speak one way or the other. There's just the demand for it is just not what it used to be. So I actually have found myself last couple of years, I get a little bit more interested of, all right, what's the mood first day of practice? And in general, most people are happy just to be back out there. But I like to see like how the coaches are kind of carrying themselves. Because I think that's kind of a tell of how do they feel.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like Ryan Silverfield was kind of peacocking yesterday.
He definitely was. I also like that he isn't turning away from the expectations of this upcoming season. He fully recognizes that, yes, he earned his extension by having a 10-win season, but it was also, you know, I think that I'm not disappointed by the 10-win season like some are, but some feel mixed about it because of the games and the scores that actually happened, even though it was, you know, one of the few times Memphis football has ever won 10 games. I think I like that Ryan recognized that he really hasn't truly proven that he is the long-term coach for the Memphis Tigers, and this is kind of the make-or-break season for him. If he doesn't reach the expectation that all of us have for this season, I do believe conversations will begin once again about the job.
Yeah, it's kind of twofold, because I agree with you. No one was outright calling it a bad year.
Right.
I think everybody felt like it was one of those seasons where the bowl game obviously helped. And it helped.
The bowl game did a lot.
Correct.
Let's be honest. The bowl game did a lot.
I also think they're getting a lot of mileage out of the bowl game.
100%.
Now, I think it's also fair to say, one way or another, they either parlayed that momentum, they parlayed the NIL commitment, whatnot. They have parlayed it into a better roster.
100%.
So I don't really care one way or another. Like, it doesn't really matter if you're getting a lot of mileage, because you're going to play this year anyway. And you're 100% right in the sense that people, maybe not like 100%, but I do think it was more than 50%, had just kind of decided with Ryan Silverfield, And what you'll find is you can win and turn it around, but if you give people just a little bit more reason to doubt, that's when you get the what I refer to as the Skip Bayless, which is one of Skip's more underrated moves, for all that we can make fun of Skip, is I apologize for thinking I was wrong. Like when he'll flip on something, he's like, when someone, he's decided someone's not any good, they win, and he's like, okay, but he can't wait for like that next stumble. I'm sorry for thinking I was wrong. Because that's the way everyone's going to react if you end up having the meh season. So the key for me is, what defines meh season? So see if you dig, because I don't want to just put you on, I don't want to pull a card, just put you on the spot. So this is,
oh, I've got an answer for you. I'm ready.
This is how
I can give you one right now.
Because I really thought about this probably way more than I should have. I really think it's going to be, do you win the conference?
I agree.
Because even if you don't, I think you can win the league, not get in the playoff, and still people are going to sit there and go, that is tangible improvement. Let's keep it rolling. We got the new exciting, you also have shiny, the other thing works in their favor, shiny new quarterback on the horizon. Shiny new quarterback, and you don't have to do this weird thing that Texas has to do where your backup announces that he's got a deal with EA Sports and has his own promo when your starting quarterback's on the cover of the game.
Right.
Like that.
And new stadium.
Correct. New stadium. Well,
coming soon.
Coming soon. Like, will it be there next year? I have my doubts that it's ready to go, but you are we know that construction has started. So it's not just a hypothetical new stadium.
Right. It's not just a conversation anymore.
Correct.
It's actually happening.
It is no longer theoretical. We know that it is happening. So you have things that would work in your favor if indeed you don't make the playoff. I think the problem is if you don't win the league, unless it's just you are 11 and you're, I guess, 10. It'd have to be, I think it kind of have to be the Riley Ferguson banger, the best AAC championship game I've ever seen. The back and forth with UCF, double overtime. Because I think that team was 10-2, lost the title game, and then played in the Liberty Bowl. I think that was the Iowa State year.
Iowa State year.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I suppose
it's the coldest game I've ever been to.
That Iowa State game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that like an ice storm over?
It was the coldest game I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah, I think we still had ice on the ground. Shout out to
I just remember I got really sick afterwards, and it was a game that they lost on a iffy call, and I was just heartbroken.
Yeah. So, but the problem is, if you go, like, no one's going to hold it against Memphis if they go to Florida State and get beat.
What's the score?
I mean, we even saw, like, even if they put it on them, I don't think anyone's going to sit there. It's going to, because they flip back the next week's Navy, right?
Yes.
So if
at Navy.
You can have the situation that they kind of had a couple of years ago where Mississippi State popped them to start the season. Although they did have that weird weather delay, and then kind of after the weather delay, they kind of made the final look a little closer. But the fact that they turned around and beat Navy in a convincing fashion when Navy's kind of been a trip-up spot for them, that kind of everyone was like, all right, whatever.
Now, that being said, I expect it to be, if they lose this game, I think it'll be more of the Missouri loss than it would be a blowout. I think that they can keep it close. Their offense is...
Yeah.
I think it's the offense. To be honest, everything comes down to defense this year.
I mean, Missouri was a... I mean, we maybe didn't really know it at the time, but I mean, that turned out to be a very good football
team. Missouri's a really good football team.
So, do I think they can? Yeah, I also can envision where they get it put on them. And we're going to find out how much...
What's my nickname?
Well, we might find out. I know the Prince of Positivity. But I'm saying it is within the realm of possibility. I mean, we don't know exactly how Mike Norvell feels about Ryan Silverfield.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
I mean, no one's ever said anything, but I don't know. That's one of my favorite things is when, like, former assistants, whatnot. I love it. So, what if they want to put a hurting on him?
Maybe. I don't know.
I bet against it, but Mike is also in my category of coaches that know the line.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true.
So, but if they lose that game and then, let's say, maybe run the conference up to Tulane. You go to Tulane and lose, and Tulane is undefeated. And then you have to go and probably play Tulane again the next week in New Orleans. The problem is, like, even in that situation, if you lose back-to-back, I don't think anyone's feeling great.
No.
Like, no one's sitting there going, fire him. Because, well, the contract, I think, at that point would roll over. Is it 10 and the bowl game?
I believe so.
Oh, man, that would be a put the bank on Memphis in whatever the bowl game that would be. Because that's why Kentucky used to always show up in bowl games.
Listen, I am expecting an 11-1 season, but I will also not be surprised by 10-2. Because there are a couple of trap games in here, and they do worry. Like, Navy, I know everybody keeps kind of looking past Navy, but for some reason, like, my gut, it might just be PTSD from my entire life as a Memphis Tigers fan.
Last year, now, Memphis worked hard to keep that game close last year, but at the same time, if that replay doesn't get overturned, I mean, Navy had, what, 12 yards to go?
I mean, listen, their hardest games are on the road. And
yes,
that is why this is a tricky season. And it's why, you know, that top 30 list and the FPI, you and I covered it the first time I hosted a couple of weeks ago. I do think the reason the Tigers are being penalized is their schedule is just harder than Tulane's and UTSA's. And that's why you're seeing those teams pop in there. That's why you're seeing Boise State pop in there. Because when you go and you look at the schedules, they are just easier than the Tigers. Yes, I understand that the American Athletic is not a very strong conference. But when you look at who they are having to play and win, it makes it a bit more difficult. Like UTSA, we went through their schedule. They're playing nobody this year.
Realistically, I mean, you got to play the season. We don't play on paper.
Right.
But heading into the season, the four toughest games on the schedule are all on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State. I think Tulane's going to be better than we. I think Tulane.
And it's the last game of the year.
And Tigers haven't had great success down there. Tulane, UTSA, USF. Those are the presumptive four toughest games. All four are on the road. Now, is going to Tallahassee the same thing as going to Tampa? No, but sometimes those weird sleepy environments can be tough. Like we used to joke about it. Remember with Temple? Like now Temple's so bad that it doesn't really matter. But with Temple, it's like sometimes that sleepy 1,500 people that are watching at an empty NFL stadium, it kind of lulls you to sleep.
It absolutely does. But also South Florida, they're just a good football team. They are the dark horse for the American this year. They feel like the kind of the unknown where they are improving and. Do they make the leap this year that you kind of expect them to make? Because when you talk about Tulane and UTSA, at least you can talk yourself into, well, they've had some changes happening around the program, this, that, and the other thing.
New coach, new quarterback. Yeah,
you totally. Talk yourself into the reasons why the Tigers should win that game. South Florida is the one where it's like, they're a bit of an unknown. They're a bit of an X factor in the schedule. If the Tigers take care of business with South Florida, it will make me feel a lot better about UTSA later on at Tulane.
I think that's right, because also, with South Florida, there's this question of...
It's also a primetime game.
Well, I think with South Florida, there was also this question of, are they starting something? Or...
Is it a flash in the pan?
Right. Was it like they snuck up on people?
Right.
Because they've been so bad for the last few years. But they run a difficult offense to stop. Quarterback was exciting. Like, I think that's the real question. It's like, was that taking advantage of the schedule? Because basically, you know, South Florida's biggest win was keeping it kind of close with Alabama.
Now, the hope is they do have, good God, South Florida's schedule was difficult. Oh, my God. They have Alabama on the road, then at Southern Miss, playing Miami, at Tulane versus Memphis. So the hope there is they are just so beaten down by the time they get to Memphis that they can just roll over them. That is my hope, because that is a brutal stretch for a team that's in the American Athletic Conference.
Here's what I don't hope, though. And I don't know if South Florida will do it, but when UAB was getting good, they would do the move of where, you know, they'd play like Georgia. They did like their SEC trip to pay for their
money,
athletic
department.
Correct. Money, please. And then they wouldn't really play a lot of guys in those games, and they just kind of take the check, and then get in CUSO season. And all the starters.
A lot of load management.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. So it's like, if you're Alex Golish, you maybe think about it. Like, I think it's a little different. Like, to me, there's still a difference between, even though we've injected too much CUSA into the league, there's still a clear difference between the American and CUSA.
Yeah.
And so, like, I just don't know if you can quite get away with it. So, I think any way you slice it, even if they were 9-3 and won the league title, I think everybody would feel good. So to me, it's like, it's less about wins for this team, and it's more, to me, it's now the pass-fails, did you win the league?
The only reason it's about wins for me, technically, is I think it's just going to take 10 to get into the championship game. I don't think that you can get in with fewer than 10, just based on, because that means that one of these teams got you and got a game up on you.
The only question I have is, like, what we saw last year was, like, I don't think the top four teams lost to anyone below them other than each other. And so, does that trend continue? Or does it kind of get Mountain Westy where a lot of the teams are kind of the same? And so, but I suspect the way the league is constituted, at least two teams are going to separate. And so I think you're probably right.
Well, it's just, and I think it might just be me having some, because like if you look at it last year, it took like SMU, Tulane, they were the ones. I think it's gonna take 10 wins. I think it's gonna take 10 wins to get in there. But I think we both agree. It's the conference championship. If you win the conference championship, you will call it a successful season, whether or not they make the college football playoff. Now, all of that being said, if they win the American and they have the season that we believe that they are going to have, they will probably be in the college football playoff discussion, at least. I think it really comes down to what does Boise State do that year? Because I think that we looked at Boise's schedule and it's a bit light, too.
Well, it's kind of...
But winning...
It's going to be... Here's the question that I have with Boise. There's the growing sentiment amongst people that really know college football that the Mountain West is one of the leagues that's very much struggling in this era. And Boise, much like Memphis, has a systematic advantage in that people care. And so they have money that other programs don't. So can we see, historically, the Mountain West doesn't really have that, like there isn't a ton of, like there's a lot, there's kind of a pack, it was a mini Pac-12 element where it's kind of like, how did the heck did that happen? But I think with Boise, Boise has Oregon, I'm trying to do it from memory. Oregon, they have a weird game to start the year with Georgia Southern on the road. That one kind of caught me by surprise. They play both Washington State and Oregon State, but I want to say they get them at home.
I got the schedule for you right here. You want me to rip through it?
Yeah.
Okay. They start at Georgia Southern, at Oregon, brutal. Portland State, Washington State, Utah State, at Hawaii, at UNLV, San Diego State, Nevada, at San Jose State, at Wyoming, Oregon State. There are really only two games on there that they should lose, maybe lose, and it's Oregon and Oregon State. But I think they can beat Oregon State.
Well, I think Oregon State, they could beat Oregon State.
No, that's what I mean. There's two games that are kind of a toss-up.
Where was the UNLV game?
At UNLV.
Okay, that could be a tough game. Where's San Diego State?
San Diego State is at home.
Yeah, and also San Diego State's going to be like flipping scheme. Like they're going from the rock fight offense to they're going to the hurry up. Like,
if you're a Memphis fan, you hope that like Washington State gets them. You're hoping that one of these teams that they should beat gets them when they're not expecting
it. And then lose.
Because Oregon's probably going to beat the hell out of them.
I mean, you have two paths to me. You can either hope that they stumble and stub their toe. Because they do have, like, they hired their interim. This is still a first-year coach.
It's a transition year.
With a first-year true head coach, or first true year head coach, and then you also have new quarterback.
And that's why talking about the Memphis expectations, when we bring up teams like Tulane, we bring up teams like UTSA, Boise, all of these teams have some sort of change going on within the program, with the players, with the coaching staff. They are in a transitional period with either the roster or the coaching staff. Memphis has the most consistency within the program from the coaching staff and with the players. I understand that there's a new defense, but they were there for the Liberty Bowl last year, so we've gotten to see what it kind of looks like. They've had a whole summer to figure it out, a whole training camp to figure it out. Most importantly, though, your head coach is the same, your quarterback's the same, and your players came back, your skill position players came back, and then you get Mario Anderson, who is a great replacement for a guy like Blake Watson. Your defense is quote-unquote improved. The table is just set in a way for Memphis that I'm not sure it's ever been set before.
No, I think that's fair. And then you really, like, that's the whole reason why I keep doing the more and more. Like, because
it's got to be at your conference championship.
Like, it's why I don't love setting that as the standard. But at the same time, when you keep talking it out, you realize, okay, how do we behave as human beings? We will get to the end of that season and go, if not now, when?
Right. Exactly. Like if not now, when? It is everything is in your favor right now. You have all of the momentum. Arguably the most momentum a Memphis football team has ever had heading into a season. Perform. You've got to perform.
Okay, maybe we'll save some SEC teams for later, because I think this is the other thing that's interesting to me. Would you agree that with Tiger basketball, the standard now is just get back to the tournament?
Yeah. It's a couple of seasons ago. Just get back to the tournament.
Yeah. And it's... And to me, and the biggest reason why it's like, is everyone sitting there going like, this is a lowering of the standards? Like, I don't even really think it's that. I think the problem is everyone's kind of a little on edge of, what if this doesn't work? If you just get back to the tournament, you can take the breath.
We all want it to work.
Correct.
Show us that it can work so we can all breathe and everybody can get back behind this thing.
Okay, so Well, obviously, we have a ton of time to talk that, but I think we're all kind of there.
Yes. Also, no drama.
Yeah, come on.
Well,
that's
can a boy dream.
That's a little too Prince of Positive. I mean, it's Memphis basketball, baby. Like, we got a brand. All right, now with the Grizzlies, this is where I think it kind of becomes interesting. Because there's going to be two things working. Like, one would be like whatever the Vegas expectation is, which I kind of like, even though we don't know what the number is, I kind of like the Grizzlies over. I just think they're in a good spot, and I think they'll be undervalued. What is going to be the pass-fail standard for the Grizzlies this coming year? Because it's the weird thing of, well, let's say they got the 2 seed, they win 53 games, and they get knocked out in the first round. Like, is anyone really going to sit there and go, I feel good?
No, I think it's second round.
And it's weird. I don't even really think it matters how it develops. Because I think even if you have a disappointment, like, let's say I'm wrong about the regular season, and they do underperform, but they wind up in the play-in, and they're the 7 seed that goes to the second round, then I think you're in this weird spot of, like, was that a good year?
If they are a 7 seed and make it to the second round, it's a good year. We would call it a good year. But the context of what the West looks like would matter. How many wins did they have? How many wins did it take to get into the playoffs? Because we've seen some years where you have to win 50 to make it.
The Grizzlies have a 2 seed with 56 wins and a 2 seed with 50.
Right. So the over-under, I mean, is there anybody that would realistically pick the under for the Grizzlies right now? It's 47.5. I'm taking the over.
I mean, I am too, but I think there's plenty of people that would go, yeah, because I don't think Ja's going to play. Like, he's coming back from an injury. I don't think he's going to play. Like, if you told me Ja was going to play 70 games, then that number gets probably inflated, but I think there'd be...
Well, I'll spot you. I mean, we did the math yesterday. I'll spot you 62 games from Ja.
I mean, I'm saying if you are someone, I don't believe it. I would take the over. I don't think that, I mean, in the end, they're trying, Vegas would like for that number to have 50% of the bets on each way.
Let me rephrase. Is there any reason to take the under other than injury?
What if, play the scenario out, what if Wembanyama is
crazy,
like generational, and then year two?
Well, he's going to be. So.
But I'm saying, like, it takes,
buckle
like,
up.
He's ready to carry a team before we thought.
He makes to be honest, he makes the Ja leap. Because the year from rookie to second year, you're like, oh, okay, this is real right now.
Correct. And they're not going to be quite as bad around him. So
they're much improved.
Okay, let's say generational player has a coming out party. Let's say Houston is better. Let's say the Warriors, Lakers, and Clippers are all better than we expect.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's the way, but like that's the problem. You and I don't believe that.
Right. So the 7 seed last year had 47 wins, 49 wins.
Yeah.
The standings are just a little weird because of the head-to-head.
Yeah, it's why people were going and thinking that they could still make the play-in when Ja came back.
Right.
It's like the math was...
But basically, it seems like if you're going to be in the discussion for the playoffs, you are at minimum probably going to have to win 47 games. And the Grizzlies over-under is 47.5.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. But I think it's this weird reality of, okay, let's think of it more in these constructs, which is probably not fair. Sorry, Taylor, heads up. If they were a 3 seed and won 50-something games and got beat by the 6 in the first round...
Disappointing.
I think it's entirely possible Taylor Jenkins doesn't have his job.
No, 100%. Listen, I am a Taylor Jenkins supporter. I think he has gotten too much criticism, but I also think that there are still some question marks. I think he and Ryan Silverfield are kind of in the same boat here, where they have a season in which they probably have their best team, and they like the Grizzlies, oddly enough, have kind of gained some momentum here over the summer with like the Ja Morant stuff coming back. You have Zach Edey, G.G. Jackson had a really good summer league.
I would say they've gained momentum locally.
Sure, I'll take it. I'll accept it. If Ryan doesn't win the conference championship, And if Taylor doesn't make it to the second round, there are going to be conversations about both of their jobs, fair or not. I truly believe if they get bumped in the first round, the Grizzlies this year, I think there is a world where Taylor Jenkins is no longer the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. That being said, I think this team's going to at least make it to the second round. That is my expectation for this team. If they make it to the second round, they lose in the second round, I am going to say, listen, that is not where we wanted them to go. I think that this team has conference final aspirations, but we may be a little bit out in front of ourselves right now. We still need to see, because like we said, we talked about yesterday, you still technically have three question marks with Vince, Gigi, and Zach Edey. If those guys hit in the way that we think they will, okay, conference finals makes a lot more sense. But heading into the season, my expectation is win 50 games, have a healthy season overall, and make it to the second round. And if all of that happens, I'm happy.
Yes, I agree with you on that. I am more fascinated about what happens if, like, I'm now starting to wonder if we're just, everything's going to just be defined by the postseason.
It will be. I think because the West is such a bloodbath during the regular season. Just make it. Yeah. Just make it to the playoffs and get to the second round. I don't care what seed they are. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Some of the best Grizzlies runs we have seen have come from lower seeding. Yeah. That's why, just get there. Because just try to avoid like playing the Thunder in round one, and I think they got a shot.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Probably
give yourself a shot.
I think try to avoid the Thunder and probably try to avoid Denver.
I think they could take Denver now, but
yeah,
Denver got worse.
Denver did get worse, but if Michael Porter just doesn't play as badly, like they're not as good, but they're still formidable.
Yes, but they don't have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope anymore.
That's true.
And they lost one of their big man rotation guys in Holmes. I know he was going to be a rookie, but they were leaning on him to be a rotation guy. Now, Saric is the forgotten about signing that they have who is going to be solid for them. But the matchup with the Grizzlies specifically, Grizz can go big. They got Jaren and they got Edey. They'll figure it out. I think that they can at least, Jokic is going to do his thing, but they can hold him at bay enough. And I just don't know if Denver has the personnel to deal with a guy like John Morant anymore on the perimeter.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk some Grizzlies. We'll do that with Eric next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let's get to what we were going to get to, Connor, before we got more on the Tigers and the Grizzlies. All right, let's go through some SEC teams, because I think it's... You mentioned teams that are in similar spots. I think it's kind of fascinating because, weirdly, Ole Miss is in kind of the similar spot to the to Tiger football, mm-hmm. but not in the sense of it's win the SEC. I do think if they don't make the playoff, their fan base is going to sit there and be upset. Like, nothing's happening to Lane. Duh. But I think that their fan base will sit there and they're going to think that that was a blown year.
No, I totally agree with you. The SEC is a completely different conversation just because it's very much like the West. It's kind of similar to the conversation we were having about the Grizzlies. Like, you can't really judge an SEC team based upon if they made it to the SEC championship game necessarily, because it's such a bloodbath and it's so difficult to get there, especially with the two new teams that are being added. But I do think the expectation is that the SEC will get a few teams in the college football playoff. So if you just keep, if you can hang around the top of the standings and have a good season, you should be able to get in. And when you look at Ole Miss, I do believe that they should be a college football playoff team, especially with the offense that they'll be able to roll out. It feels like one of the more talented teams that they have had in Ole Miss football history, and you have Lane Kiffin, very similar to the Memphis Tigers. They have a lot of momentum behind them with the roster that they have. So my expectation for the Ole Miss football team is to make it into the college football playoff, and I do think it would be looked at as a missed opportunity if they didn't.
Yeah, because here's the other problem that they're going to have. So the problem with the SEC this year, even in compared to other years, like, we've always had the West is down. You know, in the 90s, the West stunk. And, you know, we've gone through these periods where the East hasn't been very good. Or we've had these periods where only Georgia's good in the East. Well, now, with the no divisions, 8-game schedule, there's just unbalanced schedules. Some people have Florida's schedule. Some people are going to have schedules like Ole Miss and Missouri, which are very beneficial. But the problem is, if Ole Miss goes, I think 10-2 is what's going to get them into the playoff.
I would agree.
So if they go 9-3, well, okay, we can pencil in a Georgia loss. Even at LSU. I think the stat is they haven't won at LSU since 08.
Those are the two that you can say.
They could lose those games.
Right.
And then... But the problem is, if you go 9-3, the most likely third loss would be you would lose at LSU, Oklahoma, even though it's a 3 weeks. There's a bye week in between, but that's back-to-back losses. Go beat at Arkansas. I don't think they've won there since 08. They haven't won in Fayetteville since 08. Then you turn around and you lose to Georgia, and you just kind of like, you have no game on the schedule that makes you feel good. Like, I always use the example of 22 Tennessee, and I think it's the perfect example. That team got close.
They got close.
Even to the 4-team playoff. Mm-hmm. And yes, that South Carolina game, it probably helps take the sting out of it, because you can understand, well, Hooker got hurt. Like that, but like, that game was not trending in the right direction.
No.
Like, even before Hendon got hurt.
But he got hurt.
Correct. But Hendon got hurt. But you still just sit there and you, yeah, that Alabama Days Day, I won't forget. So, like, you can. If you have the special type win and the day to remember, that kind of can buy you some goodwill, even if you maybe come up short. The problem is with Ole Miss's schedule, I don't see how that happens. Like, it seems very unlikely to me that the same team that would beat Georgia would lose, you know, at South Carolina, to Kentucky, and like at Florida, like, you know what I mean? So that seems to be the standard. Dennis, I did get a text from Eric. I think he's going to try to join us. Let's go to Tennessee before we try to get Eric on the line, because this one is also in this similar situation where I think Ole Miss Ole Miss, I think, can slightly feel better about their playoff chances than Tennessee. But Tennessee's also going to kind of wind up in the same spot where it's like, you look at the schedule, 10-2 probably gets them in. What's the path to 9-3 missing the playoff that people are still going to feel good?
Do they beat Alabama?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Just have flip one of the wins.
Tennessee's pretty easy. It's Tennessee's like, if you miss the college football playoff, but you have wins against Florida and Alabama, the fan base can talk themselves into it.
They'll talk themselves into anything. All right, now we welcome to the program the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. He's not on Twitter anymore, but he is Eric Hasseltine. Eric,
how many of you guys figured this argument out about at through college football on PlayStation yet?
No. So the problem is,
like, it's so weird. Else. The sim is so weird.
You can also talk yourself into, EA Sports just hates the game.
Yes.
Like, Colorado's not going to be good, but EA Sports knows, hey, man, we got to sell some games. Colorado's a lot better in the game than they are in real life.
I remember one year I hosted a show, not on this fine station that I was employed at for 8 years, at a previous station. And we were going into college football season. And some kid from Mississippi State, bless his heart, says, we're very confident going into the Oregon game. And the reporter said, why? And he said, because we've played NCAA football.
Smart.
And we know exactly what they're going to run.
Game prep.
And I called somebody and I said, you might want to lay every penny of your child's college fund, your neighbor's child's college fund, your parents' retirement, your retirement, anything you can get your hand on and bet Oregon. Because they're going to slaughter that team, and sure enough, they did. No offense, Mississippi State, but your players thought they knew Oregon's offense by playing a video game. Turns out it's not real.
Turns out
it's just for fun.
You know what's actually surprised me? I thought football coaches, they would be like working to do everything to make sure they're not playing the game. These coaches have kind of like, they've all embraced it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because in a way, truthfully, I mean, knowing, having been around, like, 12 and 13 and 14-year-old athletes and other things, a lot of them get a better understanding of the actual games. Like, the kids that play 2K understand how plays work, pick and rolls, things like that. The kids that play Madden understand routes and things like that. The kids that play Major League Baseball, the show, they understand where they should throw an 0-2 pitch, because in the game, if you're playing at a higher level, if you miss on an 0-2 pitch, you're probably going to give up a base hit or a bomb or something along those lines. So it does teach the strategy. I think it's great. I'll never forget a movie back in the day called The Color of Money with Tom Cruise and Paul Newman about a pool player. And Tom Cruise was this kind of flaky, young, amazing pool player in the pool halls. And he played a video game called Stalker, which was like a truck driver game. And he said, you know, I'll bet in 5 years you'll be able to get into West Point by being really good at a game like Stalker, a game where you have to finish missions. And he wasn't that far off. He really wasn't that far off. People figure out basic strategies through games. Now it's where you get guys going, I'm going to quit school and be the best Guitar Hero player on the planet and make millions, and then you realize Guitar Hero is only going to be around for 3 or 4 years, and you go, you know, if you invested that time in learning how to actually play guitar and maybe join a band and grind it out, maybe you can be a millionaire. Who knows? But these competitions, obviously, these kids have grandiose ideas of having YouTube channels that follow. But in the end, the kids and young adults and young teenagers, even college-age students that are playing games and learning strategies at certain times, trying to outthink their opponent, I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's reality, but I don't think it's a bad thing either.
No, Connor and I have talked about this. Like, listen, is it the same thing as going out and executing and doing it? No.
No.
But one thing that is very, even more so than the game from 10 years ago or 11 years ago, you do have to have a basic understanding of how you would play football. Like, you got to know how to set your protection. You have to know what the right read is. Like, you have to do, you know, even layering throws and like the right trajectories and whatnot.
Sure.
And if you're someone that's playing, like, I've always thought, like, you know, understanding why, maybe if you're a receiver, why the ball didn't get to you, like, that can probably help the team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at a certain point, like, and I'm not stumping for it and saying, like, oh, you're going to be a significantly better football player if you play the game. But I do think it helps teach you what all goes on during, like, an actual play. And I think there's value in that.
I think so, too, especially when you can go, like take the Oculus games, the VR game.
A lot of quarterbacks are using that stuff.
Yeah, or hitters using that win reality. I mean, my son used it, and I'll be honest with you, he became a better hitter. But it can also throw your timing off, so you have to balance it. There is no, it's like, to me, it's like analytics in basketball. You have to balance them. You can't judge everything by analytics. You can't judge everything by the eye test.
Feel.
You can have a guy eye test and jump out of the gym and have the, you know, game motor and desire of a banana slug, and he's not going to be a good player. You can have a guy test everything on Matrix. If he can't keep a guy in front of him defensively, it doesn't matter what his analytics say, how great a player he is. He's not good enough to be an NBA player and contribute at a super high level. There's a balance of both. And teams that buy all in, everything or nothing to analytics, in the end, they might catch a year or two of success, see the Oakland A's. And in the end, they might figure out, well, the analytics have changed and we haven't changed with them, so we're now drafting in the top five for the next 3 years, see the Oakland A's. I'm not bitter at all.
I am with you on that. I also think, like, that's just ownership. Like, to me, like, that the A's is just so simply defined as, like, that's what happens when you just have a horrible owner.
But when they went through the long stretch was when they were drafting guys based on their analytical profiles at that time, and the analytical profiles had needed to change. They went through about a four-year window where none of their first-round draft picks made the major leagues. That can't happen. That just cannot happen because the analytics changed, because bat regulations changed. The balls were made differently. Parks were made differently. So when the game evolves, you have to evolve that stuff with it, is my point. Same in basketball. When the rules change to three-point line, eight-second rule, moving up and down the court, illegal defenses, the analytics have to change. Football, same thing. When they change rules on coverages and what you can do on and off the line in terms of, you know, a defensive back, in terms of hitting a quarterback, your analytics have to adapt with the rules to make that work. So I'm always a big believer in anything that gets you a better understanding of the game works. It does. It just does. It helps. And so I don't have a problem if college coaches encourage their kids to play the new college football game, to play Madden. But as long as you balance it with actual film study of your opponent, that's probably beneficial.
Hit
the weight room too. Maybe want to hit the training table in the weight room and run some routes, do some wind sprints, tie a parachute to yourself and try to run 40 yards with it.
I said we were going to talk Grizzlies, but you triggered this thought for me.
What are we going to talk about the Grizzlies? Luke Kennard's back for a year for $4 million left. Good deal.
Yeah, congratulations to Luke. I hope the golf swing's in good shape right now. Did you see the report that there's
no time to golf? He just had a kid. You know that.
Yeah, but Luke can throw money at his problem.
You're not wrong.
You know what I mean? Let me just say this:
will buy you a lot of child. No question.
If I had Luke's bank account, I'd still be playing golf. And
I'm gonna guess with the first kid too, if he's by his parents, he has built-in babysitters.
Yeah,
I've met his father, who's a great dude.
Yeah, I think I'd be playing golf. Did you see this report that there are local business people that were trying to buy the A's from John Fisher and keep them, like, you know, do the whole thing, like get the new stadium, do all this, and Major League Baseball's blocking it?
I have not seen that. It does not surprise me. Here's my thing about John Fisher. Dude, you own the Gap and Banana Republic and plenty of money. Spend it. Get out of that decrepit old stadium that was built 5 years before I was born. And for anybody that cares, I'm in my 50s. Baseball stadiums are not that old anymore unless they're named Fenway or Wrigley.
And those stadiums have had, you know, combined what probably over throughout the years, probably $500-600 million each poured into them.
Well, and they're iconic and they're not terrible to play in, and they're not detrimental to your batting average, and they're not detrimental to your power numbers.
Well, it's like, to me, it's like, yes, they're iconic, but guess what? The Red Sox and the Cubs spent the money to keep, like, I've been to both this year. They both, like, yes, they are very old buildings, but they don't feel very old. Like, you walk in the Coliseum and you're legitimately worried, like, is the roof going to collapse?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And so for that to get blocked is pretty awful.
So apparently the threat is these guys want to own these guys. Like, I guess the reported threat was that Manfred is saying if you want to own other teams, you will not talk about this.
I understand. I don't know. I don't understand it because the A's have been run this way for so very long, and it's so awful, and they just don't. They just don't put the money back in. They get good players. I mean, at one point, they had the Gold Glove third baseman in the American League and Matt Chapman, Gold Glove first baseman in the American League, Matt Olson. Both could hit the cover off the baseball. They had a good middle infield. They had a good center fielder. They had good young starting pitching. 2 years later, they were all gone. That year, they were contending for the American League West or won it. They were a wild card at some point. And now every time you get somebody like a Mason Miller who throws 102 miles an hour and you're going, he won't be here next year.
No, we're taking offers.
Yeah, Brent Rooker. Shocked he didn't get dealt, and a local guy. Which, by the way, I don't know if you've seen that story about Brent Rooker's tweet back to a guy.
Yes, I did.
Absolutely first class. Like, now you only hit singles? Like, grab a bat, dude. You try to hit a home run in the major leagues. I don't think he was trying to hit a single to keep you from winning your parlay bet. And to tweet at a player like that is absolutely ridiculous. But, again, it's people and people are silly. But, it's frustrating. It's really frustrating as a fan. In fact, I'll be honest with you, and you know, our old buddy Jason Wallace working for the Tampa Bay Rays, yeah. And a lot of people are like, oh, you know the Rays way, they're economical. They at least try to build through the farm system. They do try to keep players. They've got a stadium situation where they're trying to get a new one. They're doing everything they can. They're locked into a lease. And by the way, as I tell people down in St. Pete when I go down there, I said, you think you guys have it bad? Go spend a week in Oakland. Go spend a week at the Coliseum. Go spend a week down there by that stadium and see if you have as much fun as you have at, Ferg's, which is the sports bar right next to the stadium, or the Mexican restaurant right next to Ferg's, or the entire area right around the Trop where there's some really good restaurants, really good bars, really good entertainment, great
music.
There's
anything.
And, yeah.
There's not just docks.
If you want to go to the flea market or the docks of the Alameda Piers, or you just want to go to a street where everything has gone out of business and you have a bunch of transients, yeah, there's an A's game for you. And an empty arena behind it and a parking lot that's empty and a BART station where I walked out and I went, oh, man, that was not fun to watch walking through that. And I grew up there. And it's hard because that's my favorite team. I still root for them. I still look at the box scores. And every year in spring training when I look at their roster, I do the whole major league. You're like, who are these guys? Like, where did these guys come from? I mean, I felt like I knew a little bit about the farm system. But it's tough. And when you hear that there was guys that want to keep them there, that want to give them a stadium, when you know there are opportunities there, because I'm tired of people saying, oh, Oakland's a small market team. That's
the
not
the area.
It's the Bay Area. It is part of San Francisco. Yes, Oakland is its own city. Where I grew up, it's part of the San Francisco Bay Area. It is 25 miles east of San Francisco. Did I live in San Francisco proper? No. 25 miles east, we are part of that media market. We are part of that sign. We are part of all of that stuff. And that is where you lose me with, oh, they're a small market team. No, they're not. They're a...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.